Well, good morning, and it's good to see each of you here this morning. Trust you will be encouraged by the word. And the final sermon from Revelation, the Beatitudes of Revelation. I'm not sure what your experience was. Maybe a survey would answer some of that, but some of you may be saying, can we please get out of the book of Revelation? And some of you may be saying, give me more. And that's okay if you all are at different places in your journey and love of different parts of prophecy and the Bible. It has been enjoyable for me, and my experience has been rewarding, and I will always remember, I think as long as I live and have a sound mind, the Beatitudes of Revelation. I'm not sure how many of you can remember them all, but I'm going to go through them again, can any of you share some that you remembered? The blessings, the seven Beatitudes or the seven blessings. If you do this, there's a blessing for you. The first one, very first part of the book. Anyone remember? It's those that hear, read, and keep the sayings of the book. And so that's very, I think, foundational. The book is opened up. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. And the book of Revelation is the great revealing of Jesus. It's understood differently, and that's okay. And there's different interpretations of the book, but it's the great revealing of Jesus Christ, as I understand, in the very end times. It'll be the apocalypse is the great revealing. Some of the hardest times will be the most revealing and the most powerful time for God to speak to the whole world through those times, I believe. Some read the book historically and some read it more prophetically or futuristic and see it as things yet to come. So the second one is Revelation 14. It says, blessed are those that die from this time forward, or from henceforth, which means in Greek, from this time on, and it marks a time. And I try to teach each beatitude and blessings within its context, and I think that's very important. It has helped me. When I hear that, that is used generally at funerals. Blessed are those that die in the Lord. And yes, those that go on to meet the Lord, what a blessing it will be. You definitely want to die in the Lord. But it says from henceforth, and so that is marking a time from this time forward. And within that context, I believe it's the middle of the tribulation. If you study that out, it's marking a time, and you have to interpret the time. And then moving forward, it is Revelation 16, and it says that, behold, I come quickly. Blessed are those that have washed their robes and are watching. So those that are watching and alert for the Lord's coming, because he's coming quickly. And we'll see in our text today, he's coming quickly. Three times the book is ended with that thought. So watching, blessed are those that watch. And of course, that can be taught in a general sense, but also within its context. I believe it is very important to teach it within its context. And it's within the seven judgments. And then the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are those that are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You have great Babylon the Great. The end time religious system comes down. The alleluia's in heaven. There's praising God in heaven as the system of the devil and the whole end time system is come to an end. And righteousness and God's people will be gathered together for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's got to be one of the best, I believe, to be part of that. Blessed are those that are invited to the wedding. where the bride will be married to the bridegroom and forever united together forever. And then Revelation 20, blessed are those that have part in the first resurrection. John saw those that were beheaded. If you connect some of these, they connect together. So you go back to Revelation 14, blessed are those who die from this time on. And if you read that in its context, it's the angels flying through the three angels flying through the whole earth. One's preaching the everlasting gospel. The second is saying, Babylon is fallen and coming down. And the third one says, don't take the mark or worship the image. And so, right, the next verse says, blessed are those who die in the Lord from this time forward. And then, in Revelation 20, the millennial reign of Christ, John saw all those that were beheaded for their testimony for Jesus Christ. Those that die in the Lord from this time forward, I believe, were resurrected. And they ruled and reigned with Christ. And he says there, blessed are those that have part in the first resurrection. And of course, he saw the way they died. And so I would teach that in a physical resurrection, not a spiritual one. There is a spiritual resurrection as well. And so now we're going to the end of, we're going to teach this last one, the two, tie together with the first. And it's going to be within the context of heaven. And I'm going to just teach this. I won't be able to teach it exhaustively, but just within its context. So you can remember, as I will remember, the context of all these Beatitudes. So if you have your Bible, they are in Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible. Three times in Revelation 22, Jesus says, I come quickly. So that's something we're going to take note of. But in Revelation 22, verse 7, it says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this book. So there's a blessing very closely connected to the first chapter. Blessed are those that hear, read and keep the sayings of this book. In Revelation 22 and verse 7, I'm coming quickly. Blessed are the ones that keep the sayings of this book. And so you have obedience to the commands of Scripture emphasized there. And then in Revelation 22, 14, we have the last one. It says, blessed are those that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So, obedience. You could summarize this all into obedience, but if you study the Greek and in the New American Standard Bible, it says, blessed are those that wash their robes. I didn't check the ESV, but a Greek word study, has the meaning closer to washing your robes in verse 14. King James says, do his commandments. But a careful study of Greek, it has more of the meaning of washing your robes. And so I'm going to teach it twofold, obedience to the commands of Christ and the importance of washing your robes, because I think that is very important to have those two in place in your life so that you can enter into the city. And we're going to look at this great city that John saw in Revelation 21. So taking you back to the first book of the Bible, and I do this sometimes to in evangelism, when people are questioning God and questioning a literal six-day creation and the purpose of suffering in the world, and is there an afterlife? I like to take people to the first two chapters of the Bible and see a beautiful paradise in the beginning. And the last two chapters of the Bible we'll look at this morning, you have a new creation and a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem where everything is redeemed and restored. And so God This unfolding plan of redemption reaches its completion in the end right here, and that's the setting we're looking at this morning. So human history begins in a garden and ends in a city. That is like a garden paradise. The eternal city is compared to a beautiful bride, and I love that picture. I want to leave you with that picture. The eternal city is described and pictured as a beautiful bride prepared for her husband. It says that in Revelation 21. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So that's the city. Now, I used to read Revelation 21 and teach it as heaven, but it is really the New Jerusalem. And as I studied it more, John saw a new heaven, and he saw a new earth, and then he saw a new Jerusalem, this city coming down out of heaven. And I like to add my own thought to that, to the earth. And so it's coming down. The city is being prepared today. And God is preparing this city as a beautiful bride prepared for her husband. And that's what the picture you see here in Revelation 21, this city coming down. And some people in their mind wrestle with that and cannot. I asked one person, how far do you think the city will come down? He said, well, I think it maybe will come down halfway. He couldn't, in his mind, reconcile the city coming all the way down to the new earth. And so that's my understanding as I look forward to not only the new Jerusalem, but I look forward to the new heaven. Genesis 1, God created the heavens, and then he created the earth. And then in the fullness of time, Jerusalem was set apart, and God put his name in Jerusalem. It was the center of worship in Israel. And here we see this full redemption ends with a new heaven, the first heaven and earth destroyed, and the new heaven created. And if God can create the whole world in 6 days, he can certainly do it again. We don't have to understand that. We don't have to understand how this earth is going to be one day restored. Where are we all going? I don't understand it all. I don't have to. I believe it through the eyes of faith. And here's what we see in Revelation 21 and 22. This is how it will end. A new heaven and a new earth. Full redemption, a paradise for us to enjoy. That's what God wanted all along. Why did it take 6,000 years? I don't know. Why didn't God deal with the devil in the garden? I don't know all of this, but redemption. We'll stand back and we'll just be in awe. And that's what God wants for everyone. And today, it is happening in your heart. Today, it happens in your heart where you respond to God and you obey his word and you have your robes washed. We're going to get into that. But that's how you prepare your heart today. And that's how you get ready. And that's the people that will be there. It's very clear, reading through it and meditating on the two chapters, that's who will be there. It's very clear. And we're going to look at these scriptures that describe this. So it's very important, I believe, to teach these Beatitudes within its context. And this is the context. This is where we're at. And this is the criteria or the requirements to enter in. In John's day, Rome was the admired city. We hear Rome was not built in one day, and I never saw Rome, but it would be good to see Rome today. But when you hear of Rome, you think of a beautiful city that was admired. And in Revelation 17 and 18, Babylon is described as the harlot, or a city, that is the anti-system, or the system apart from God. All the nations of the earth are deceived, it says, by this woman riding on a beast in Babylon. The end times system of Babylon is referred to and described as a city. And the New Jerusalem, of course, is God's eternal city, not the harlot, but the bride. So you have the harlot and the bride compared. New Jerusalem will come as the true, pure bride. And the end time system of Babylon will be brought down. So Revelation 21, 5, it says, "He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are the true and faithful." So this is truth, and that is why I believe it is good for us to read the entire Bible, but Revelation. And I just want to encourage you to start with the Beatitudes and move into some of the easier parts of Revelation and develop a love for this great book of prophecy. So first I want to start with the importance of obedience, and I think that is a mark upon all Christians, and it is really the acid test of all Christianity is obedience. You could look at many scriptures that would bring this out. Jesus said in John 14, 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them." He that hath my commandments, we have them. We all have them available. We can have all the Bibles we want. There's no excuses for any of us. I think we all have enough money to buy commentaries and Bibles. So we have the commandments. We can study them. We have the privilege. I had the privilege for over 50 years to go to church every Sunday. And I've heard over and over and over again sermons and studies from Scripture. So I am in the privileged group in the world, and I'm humbled by that. But we have the commandments of God, right? We have the commandments of God, and it's those that keep them. That's what Jesus said. He it is that loves me. We cannot say that we love God or love the Lord Jesus with all of our hearts if we're not willing to make a commitment to obey the commandments of the Lord. That is the blessing we're looking at here, is obedience. And it is really the acid test of Christianity. Those that come to the Lord and hear His voice are the ones that respond, and the ones that surrender, and the ones that say yes inside their hearts and say yes inside of their will and say yes to God. And when you're saying yes to God, you're receiving salvation, you're saying yes to all the commandments of the Lord. We can't say that certain parts of the Bible do not apply to us, and we cannot say that there are certain parts of the Scripture that we do not want to study because we're afraid they might reveal areas in our life that are not in line. But rather, we have obedient hearts, and we respond to God in obedience. Jesus also said in John 14, 23, "If any man love me, he will keep my words. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." That's 1 John 5, 3. His commandments are not grievous. So this is really the love of God, and this is really where the blessing comes to those that have obedient hearts. All those who know Jesus as their Savior obey His commandments, and they willingly allow His Lordship into their lives, and we claim Him not only as our Savior, but as our Lord. And He is the one who comes inside the heart, and He comes inside and He promises that He will give to everyone the Spirit who responds to Him in this way. So the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ comes inside the heart, and He wants to sit on the throne of our hearts and rule as King. And that's really obedient hearts, is allowing Jesus to be Lord and allowing Jesus to rule and reign in our lives. So it is Him that is in control, and He is Lord of our lives. Revelation 22 says this, "Behold, I come quickly." He's coming quickly. "And blessed is he that is keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." So I believe that could refer to all of Scripture, and especially the prophecies that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. So, that's the test. And that's the blessing that comes to all that are obedient. I believe it can be applied to many areas of our life. We're obedient to authorities in our life. We're obedient to the church. And we're obedient to those that are at work and those who are over us. There's many blessings that come to those that are obedient. And that is the first beatitude. The second one is Revelation 14, and I'm going to use the Greek interpretation and the New American Standard Bible. I didn't check the ESV, but I'm guessing it is referred to as those that wash their robes. And I think we all would acknowledge that this is, as you study the two chapters, Revelation 21 and 22, and the comparisons, the comparison that we see, those that are in the city have had their robes washed, and they've experienced the cleansing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have kept their lives clean. Because outside, in verse 15, it says, "Our dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." We have that same description in Revelation 21 of those that are outside the city are described as well as the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So there is very clear the divide. We can't say that, yes, the love of God just comes down to all. And people have challenged me on my understanding of the love of God. And I like to say it this way, that yes, God loves all sinners. God loves the whole world, that He died for everyone, and He loves them enough that He died for them, and He wants to cleanse them and change their hearts and bring them to a new creature in Jesus Christ. And so those that are in Christ, we cannot be saved and be in Christ without being cleansed of our sins and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Many scriptures we could look at that bring that out, and I just will refer to some that are very clear that we need cleansing. In 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, this is a walk with God. Someone told me this week that they want to, Sunday is the holy day, and Sunday is the day where you go, and if you have any sins, you go confess your sins, and you got to make sure you have all your sins confessed on Sunday. And this verse says, if you walk in the light, and you confess your sins daily, and you confess your sins to the Lord, and sometimes it's good to have a brother or sister to share with, but this is an experience that all Christians can live and experience every day. Confessing your sins and being cleansed. And if you're walking in the light, it says, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So that cleansing can be happening in our lives daily. As you walk in the light, and as you confess your wrongdoings, and as you live your life that way, you are obedient, and you have a heart that is being cleansed and made right, and you're experiencing a relationship with God that is ongoing cleansing, daily cleansing. It's not once a week where you do your wrongs and you take care of all your sins on Sunday, and then you add them up, and Sunday is the day. But no, it is every day. And it refers to a relationship. So that is very clear. I remember sharing these verses with someone years ago at Myerstown. I went to a minister's meeting one evening, and a neighbor came across the street from the church there at Myerstown, and he was walking his dog, and I stopped to talk to him, and he asked if I could pray for his wife. And I said, I will. So I was a little late for the meeting, but I was talking to a neighbor, and that's, we have to be okay with that in our schedules sometimes. But as the story goes on, I followed up with a visit and discovered that she was dying of cancer, and had a couple visits with her, read this scripture right here from 1 John, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I remember this text came to me. And she was in the hospital, and a couple weeks went by. We sent her flowers. And one Sunday after church, we're talking as men, after church outside in the parking lot, and Dave Bender came running across, and he said, can you come right now? And I said, I will come right now. Again, a little late for dinner, but that's okay. And here she was ready to confess. She had been divorced, and she was living, they were not married, and they were living together, and she was convicted of her sins, and she confessed the sin. And she found forgiveness. And it was 2 days or 3 days later, she died and went on to be with the Lord. And so I trust Carol Meese is in heaven today. But it was just one experience where she felt conviction in her heart, and she felt the heaviness of sin, and she felt the need to confess it before God. And she said, "It's what should I do? She's dying, and she's living in a relationship that is not sanctioned in holiness." And I said, you cannot, in your state, move out. And she can be cleansed by true confession and repentance in the heart. There can be cleansing. And that's what happened. 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, such were some of you. It mentions a whole list of sins. And I won't go through the list of sins. It's pretty ugly sins. Adultery and fornication and homosexuality are all mentioned in the list of 1 Corinthians 6:11. 10. As well as adulterers and the whole list, no matter what it is. And that's where I understand and explain the love of God comes to every person, no matter what situation you find yourself. The Lord reaches all the way down to wherever we are at. Wherever we're at, and however far a person has fallen away from the Lord, we believe and I teach and I know that the Lord will come all the way down. It's the question is whether we will reach up and do our part. And it says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, such were some of you. We were all in that category. This list can be us, and we were in that list, but you've been washed. You've been cleansed. You've had your robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. You're not going on living in these sins habitually, but you've been washed. You've been sanctified and set apart. That means that your life is changed and you're set apart for the glory of God. You cannot continue on living habitually in sin and saying that you're washed. So that's the working of God in your life. We're washed. We're sanctified, set apart for God, and we're justified. God puts His Spirit inside of your heart and He forgives you, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. And so we could go all through Scripture and find many verses, but that's what Revelation, the Beatitudes of Revelation, Revelation 22 says, "Blessed are all those that keep His word and have obedient hearts." We're ones who say, "Yes, God, do it in my life." Even though it's hard things in the Scripture, I want to come to You and I want to have an obedient heart and obey Your commands. Reveal them to me. Reveal them to me, and God will reveal them to each one of us. So those are the ones that are blessed, the ones that keep His commandments, and those that have their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to just close by reading some of the Scriptures, a comparison of the two groups in Revelation 21 and 22. Before I do that, three times it says, "Behold, I come quickly." So the Lord is coming quickly. Three times. Revelation 22:7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Revelation 22:12, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." I'd love to preach a whole sermon on the rewards. Maybe that'll be in the next one. "But my reward is with me." So you see, the Lord is coming quick, and he has his reward with him. He's going to reward everyone for your service in the kingdom. He's going to have lots of prizes and rewards, and it's going to be glorious. His reward is with him. He's coming quickly. And then Revelation 22:20, "Surely I come quickly." It's that picture of Jesus coming quickly. Yes, one day it'll be a sudden surprise, but it is also a surprise for all of us to meet the Lord. I was talking to a friend this week, and he told me that he 2 years ago he died. And I was like, "You died? You're here." and he said, "Yes." He said, "One day, a Saturday, he was working doing a project for his wife. It was during COVID, and he was tired that day. He told his son to mow the yard, and he told his wife he would do this project. And he got done with the project on a Saturday. He sat down on the back deck with his wife, and he saw the yard wasn't mowed. And so he got the mower, and he started to mow the yard. And after a bit, his son came out and felt he should be helping Dad out. And his son started to mow the yard, and he went down, and he's sitting with his wife on the deck, and all of a sudden he just fell back and he just died. His heart, he had a cardiac arrest, and his wife, in desperation, just called the 911 and they walked her through how to do CPR, and she did that on him, and the police and the medics were just a block away, so suddenly they were there. And they shocked him and brought him back. He said, "Here I am today." And suddenly, I said, "You had no warning at all." He said, "No, I was mowing the lawn. I was doing a project for my wife. And I was sitting on the deck with my wife." And he just rolled his head back and he died. But they brought him back. And I said, "So you have a second chance." I said, "So do I." And I shared all my experiences. But that's a little how it is for many people. "Behold, I come quickly." We don't have any hope in purgatory or after we die, but we get right now. So I'm going to just read those that will not enter into the city are described. And I'm going to just read. You can follow along if you want or just listen. But Revelation 21:8, it says, "But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Revelation 21:27, And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither worketh whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 22:11. These verses say clearly that now is the time of salvation. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Revelation 22:15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Revelation 22:18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Very clear, and I just read the scripture there. That's what was impressed upon my heart. A careful study of these Beatitudes within their context, I believe, is very helpful. It was for me. And I want to end with the Beatitudes. The blessings are there, far exceed our imagination or anything that we can imagine or describe. Blessed are those that hear, read, and keep the sayings of this book. Blessed are those which die from this time forward. Blessed are those who watch and will not be found naked. Revelation 16. Blessed are those that are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And blessed are those that have part in the first resurrection. Blessed are those that obey and have their robes washed. And we will be part of that great picture in Revelation 21 and 22. So God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the book of Revelation and the study you've led me to. Pray that it could be a blessing to the church here and to many lives. Give us a desire to study and read more of Scripture, to learn more of your commandments, and to say with all of our hearts, we want to obey and keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Lord, give us hearts that are after you, and I pray that we all could end up in that great eternal city one day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.